Good morning. We're here with radio entrepreneurs at the home office of JED Insurance. And this morning, my co-host is Jonathan Friedman.
Good morning, John.
And we have as our guest, Randy Walther of New England B2B CFO. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning. How are you doing?
So, Randy, I think you're probably a little bit aware our theme today is getting organized. So I thought, what more important than getting in the financial trenches and figuring out where a business is at?
Yep.
So, Randy, why don't you tell us a little bit about your practice?
Oh, okay. I work with privately held companies that are typically in the $5 to $70 million range in terms of revenues. And typically they're going through some sort of a transition or change of some sort, or just stuck in the neutral gear, if you will. So I work with them to build a plan and help them stick to that, so when they're ready to leave their business, they can get the most value out of the business that they're looking for.
So not really an outsource accounting, more the financial strategy.
That's correct. Yes, I work on the strategic level with the side by side with the business owner. Typically, what I'll do, if a company doesn't necessarily have a good accounting financial structure in place, I'll help get that in place so they're doing it. But what I'm really doing is I'm trying to interpret the financial information. I'm trying to help them understand how their decisions impact the business from a profit standpoint and from a value standpoint.
So would a company that engages you typically not have a CFO, or sometimes they do have a CFO and you would serve as an adjunct to that from a strategic standpoint?
Yeah, super CFO?
Yeah,
super CFO. It kind of depends. Typically, in the business, the size that I work with, they don't have a CFO. Or if they have a CFO, the title may be a CFO, but they don't necessarily have the experience in dealing with the strategic. They probably came up through the accounting controller role and are very tactical, very technical in what they're doing. But as far as interpreting and looking at the cash management side of it and understanding, you know, how to get the cash they need and, you know, what's a good investment and evaluating those type of things, they may not necessarily have that expertise. So that's the role that I fill.
So it's interesting. We've been talking to other providers today and the theme of getting organized, and many of them in the financial world. And I find, and you talk about entrepreneurs or owners of small and mid-sized businesses, there's such a mindset around growth, and there's such a mindset around top line. I would imagine as a CFO, you're much more interested in bottom line. And I say to my clients all the time, wouldn't you rather be generating X as a bottom line and not worry about the top line? And it's amazing how I think in this culture, we're so oriented, and maybe it's the entrepreneur and sort of that, you know, badge of honor. I'm a $100 million company. Well, if you're a $100 million company and making no money, you know, I'd rather be a $50 million company making $10 million a year. So do you find that that exists a lot in your world, where people are so focused on top line and you come in and say, well, what's your profitability like?
Yeah. yes and no. First of all, you have to have the top line or there will be no bottom line. So we focus on the top line as well. But yeah, the bottom line is very important is in terms of, you know, how it's building the value for the company. What is the owner able to take home at the end of the day? Without that, there isn't really anything in there. So that's how I help them work with that. I look through their expenses. I look through their process flow. I look through their inventory or service industry. I look at their utilization of their resources, and I try and evaluate whether or not they're being as efficient as they can. And that's how I help them improve that bottom line.
So you're really, for lack of a better term, you're helping with the banking relationship, the valuation of the company. You know, do they have the right financing in place? Should they consider more financing?
That's one of the roles I fill, absolutely. Looking at their long-term growth strategy. A lot of times what I find when I go into an organization, they may have been in business 2 to 3 years or 5 years or whatever, but they get to a point where they built an infrastructure, and the infrastructure gets to this point where it's no longer scalable, and they're kind of peaking. So what I help them understand is, what are the steps they need to take to make that infrastructure scalable? You know, whether it's a processing system or whether or not it's equipment or whether or not they need to add more service personnel or however they need to do it. What do they need to do? What are the cash resources required on that? And how can we measure how profitable that those incremental levels of growth are? Because what I want to do, you don't want to just throw more people at the problem or more resources at the problem if you aren't getting a return. And you want to make sure that you're getting a return.
Or more expense. You want to get that return.
Exactly. Yeah. So what I'm helping them do is understand how that return can come to be.
And not to, when you do the engagement, are you a threat to certain people in an organization? Has that come up? Or are most people, you're dealing with the CEO more? So it's, how is that treated?
You know, it's interesting. When I go into an organization, I work with the CEO. I work right alongside the CEO, and if they have other, you know, senior managers, I work alongside them. And my role is never, as far as I'm concerned, threatening to anyone because it's really just a role that I'm going in to fill. I'm not there on a full-time basis. I'm there to, you know, help them build their strategy and do that. So I want to be more of a resource to them. Do some people feel threatened by it? I think until they understand my role, mm-hmm. they may be a little bit, they may feel that way. But once they appreciate where I'm at and what I'm trying to do, I'm really not a threat. I'm really there just to identify how they can all perform at a higher level.
When is a good time to engage someone like you for a company? Do you find it's at the trigger is a major issue, or do people plan ahead and say, you know what, Randy, come help look at what's the, you know, ideal situation?
Well, I always say that every company needs a CFO, regardless of size. That's what I say. And, you know, some people live by it, some people don't. What I do, when I first start to even discussions with a CEO, I start by asking them when they plan to leave their business and how they plan to leave their business. They may not even be thinking of it at this point in time, but I want to understand what it is. What is it that they want to get out of the business?
That's a common theme today, isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Taking a long-term view and figuring out what's the exit.
Right.
You know, what's your end goal?
What's your end goal? Stephen Covey said it. You know, it's
begin with the end in mind.
Mm. Exactly. And that's kind of where we go. That's what I do when I sit down with them. Understand what it is. What do you want out of this business? You know, if you want to be in it 10 years, 15 years, that's absolutely fine. But what is it that you want at the end of the day? What do you want to get in the meantime? What is it that you want to take? What are you looking for? Is it work-life balance? Is it just money? How do you want to do it? And so then what I do is I work with them to achieve those goals. So, you know, they still need, accounting functions in place. They still need processing. They have to invoice customers. All of those things need to be in place. And I can help with, you know, setting up some of those processes. But for the most part, what I'm doing is I'm really trying to help them work toward that end goal.
Mm-hmm. And do you bring on the back end processing? So you know, I understand that you're working at the strategic level, but mm-hmm. let's just say that a company is lacking in talent from a control standpoint. Let's mm-hmm. say it's a controller. Is that something that you would work with them to find a person to fulfill that need? Because it sounds like you don't fulfill that need directly, but you will help them to achieve it?
Initially, if I go in and that's a need that they have, I'll end up filling it for a short period of time until I can get the resources on board.
So you're hands-on.
So I can be hands-on. I mean, that's how I came up. I've been a CFO for 20 years, so I understand everything that has to be done, and I came up through the accounting, finance, audit routine, so I understand all of that, so I know what they need. So my goal is to get those folks in place, get those processes in place, get the right skill set, get the right reviews, the right controls, because at the end of the day, what I'm looking for is when the month end close is done, or however often they close the books, when that month end close is done, I want it to be able to take those numbers. I want to be able to rely on those numbers. I want them to be accurate. The integrity has to be there. And then I want to be able to use that to sit down with the CEO to have a strategy session.
So
that's what I want.
That's an interesting, you know, with all the new regulatory compliance, legal. Mm-hmm. Do you come across sort of financial fiduciary issues ever where you see things that shouldn't be done and you got to clean it up? Or is that, you know,
in what respect?
Well, you're overseeing the financials, so mm-hmm. do you ever see, you know,
shenanigans?
Yeah,
shenanigans, so to speak.
Financial shenanigans. Thank you, Jonathan.
I have been fortunate not to have seen those in my career as a CFO. I have to say, though, or at least not recently, I have seen some things done by other folks that as soon as I see something, you have to raise the issue, and you can't shove it under the rug. It can't be under the rug.
Well,
you have to really understand.
It's interesting when you're dealing with privately held businesses, obviously, and you know, I think people are under the perception that there's more latitude when you're not mm-hmm. Accountable to a public company, et cetera, mm-hmm. But very often, private companies have outside money, you know, whether it be a line of credit or, sure, you know, something at a bank. And so they do have compliance issues. And you know, use the old proverbial sniff test. You know, mm-hmm, does the milk smell bad? If it's, you know, if you wouldn't want to tell somebody that you're doing it, it's probably not something you should be doing.
And the thing is I always look at it from that particular type of a compliance or whatever. There's two things that I'm always concerned about, even though they aren't publicly traded or that sort of thing. One is their outside debt. Is there outside ownership? Is there outside debt? Are there third parties? And if so, the company has a responsibility to give them good information. And finally, the tax returns. The tax returns have to be reliable as well. So in those respects, I'm very cognizant of what happens and, you know, what goes on. So I always want to make sure that the proper documentation is there, that, you know, things are done, GAAP is adhered to, and
it's funny, being in risk management, we often see, you know, insurance and risk management isn't always at the forefront of a CFO's mind, yet they could have huge exposure with Fidelity, Fiduciary, you could have cyber, but even on the banking side, you see them violating bank covenants, nobody's checking it.
Yeah.
But until the economy goes south a little, nobody looks at it.
Right. The bankers don't pay that much attention to
right,
it.
Right,
right. You know.
Yeah.
And well, that doesn't happen on my watch. That's all I can say, is because that's something that I do look at. And in fact, when I'm looking at financing for a company, and you know, I help them, and I'll work with bankers to put together a deal, and I'm looking at those covenants. And if those covenants don't look based on the projections that I know, what I know of the company, it's something that they're going to be able to hit, then we're going to have to come up with a better solution. That's something that they're going to be able to live with, and the owners, before they sign those papers, understand what those covenants are. I make sure of that, and they understand that they are going to be monitored, and you know, they're going to be accountable to them, and I help that accountability.
Hmm. It's a good thing to teach your owners to understand that when you start violating bank covenants, they do have a right to pull your line. And it happens quickly.
Absolutely, it can, and it's like it's not in their interest.
Right, that's not what they want to do for a living. But
no,
but
and it's not in their interest to sign a document that you know they aren't going to be able to meet the covenants. And that's why I make sure that we have a proper plan in place. We understand what it is. So when I sit down with the banker and I say, you know, this is what it is. This is the collateral. These are the earnings that we're projecting. This is where it is. This is how you can assure yourself that you're going to get repaid. That and they put in the covenants that those covenants are going to be met. Hmm. That's really what I work with on them.
And what other sort of services would you offer somebody that really needs organization, you know?
Well, I tell you what, from a planning standpoint, budgeting standpoint, financial control, really understanding where the business is going. To me, I work with four different areas when I start with a business. The first thing I work with is a plan. I want to make sure that they have a very good budget, a good plan. They know where they're going. They have a roadmap. Without the roadmap, it's not going to work. Secondly, I work on a cash management. And I want them to understand how their cash is going to be needed, when it's not going to be needed, and how we have an investment process or line of credit, whatever we have to do on that. The third thing I work with, and this is really transforming data into information they can use. And that's really about organization, but understanding where I can find that information so they can measure the proper metrics or KPIs for their business. Mm. That's what it is. And the fourth thing I do is establish accountability within the organization to meet every one of those. But all of them go back to the organization of the company and how they are organized, how they find that data, how it's generated, and how they can manage it to make sure that the company is on track.
Fascinating stuff, and I think segues nicely into our theme for today, which is getting organized, and you've certainly spoken to a number of ways that companies get organized. Randy, what's the best way for listeners who want to get in touch with you for them to reach out to you?
They can go on my website. My website is randywalther.cfo.com, or they can email me, randywalther@b2bcfo.com.
And that's Randy with a Y, R-A-N-D-Y, and
yes.
Walther,
and
W-A-L-T-H-E-R, just
that
to make sure.
Correct. You got it.
Excellent. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on Radio Entrepreneurs, and we appreciate you coming in today and telling us about what it is that you do. And we're coming to you from the offices of JED Insurance and Financial Network. And you welcome, John. Thank you for hosting us today. And
great segment. I really appreciated the opportunity to do this.
And we will be right back with another segment on Radio Entrepreneurs.